It's difficult for us to think about that we are the creators of the scars. Jesus, and we'll explain this in the message in just a minute, but Jesus did not come to die because we are all perfect. He came because we are sinners. And that's something we all want to keep in mind. We all want to keep in mind that Jesus came because of sin. And there needs to be confession in all of our hearts. And I've been thinking a little bit about this recently, about the need for confession. Because all of us have sin in our lives. All of us need a Savior. And we're going to talk about that more in the future. Maybe even have a time of prayer and confession. Because, you know, one thing we want you to realize is we're not here today because we're perfect. We're not here today because we've never sinned. We're actually here today because we know that we are sinners. We're here today because we recognize that we need a Savior. We're not perfect. We have faults. We have failures. There's a holy God that we have offended by our sin. And He sent His Son to pay the price for that sin so that we might have eternal life. So we come and worship today because we recognize that we've been saved from our sins. Anyway, we'll let the nurseries and the children's church go. And the rest of us, we can be turning our Bibles to the book of Romans in chapter number 3. The book of Romans in chapter number 3. And you can see the title of the message today is, Why Celebrate? Why are we here today to celebrate the resurrection? You know, the past couple of weeks with the 15th region tournament championship, I've been playing Celebrate Good Times a lot at the different functions that we've gone to with the basketball team, and that song has been on my mind. And but there's lots of reasons to celebrate, and that's what we're here to do. Today is a day to celebrate. But your question might be, well, why is the resurrection such a big deal? Why is it important for those who are in Christ? And today my hope is to answer that question for you. Why is it so important? You know, I'm going to assume that most of us know the particulars of the event, what's called the Passion Week. And you know, this week when Christ was crucified and buried and raised again, you know, all of history has pointed to this day. And the resurrection is really the climax of all of human history. From the beginning, every event that happened in this world was pointing to the resurrection. And all the preceding history that flows from the resurrection is in remembrance of it. And all of history is about what happened on that day when Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. And it's pointing to the day of the end when Jesus Christ will return to this earth. And so all of history, the resurrection is the climax of all of human history. But why? Why this event? Why the Passion Week? And I'm sure you guys have seen the images before of Jesus suffering, of Him going to the cross, and receiving the crown of thorns and the being beaten so much that you couldn't tell that he was man and being nailed to that cross. Why such a horrible death? Why the crucifixion? And the reason is because of the horror of sin. One of the things that Jesus is going to say while he hangs on that cross is, my God, why hast you forsaken me? Why did he have to suffer so? And it's because of the horror of sin. You see, when God created this world, it was beautiful. It was very good. Everything in it was beautiful and good. But it didn't stay that way. Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23 tells us something simple. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The reason that Christ had to come and die is because we're sinners. You see, it's because of sin that Christ had to die. It's because of sin that a sacrifice had to be made. It's actually what you may not know is that when Jesus is suffering on the cross, he's actually experiencing the wrath of God. God hates sin. And he says the wages of sin is death. And so because man has sinned against God, God is going to pour out his wrath upon sin. One of the things we want to remember is that this sin began in the garden. Again, when God created, he created everything good. He, this holy God who is perfect in every way, he is full of moral goodness and excellence, and everything about God is good. This God spoke the world into existence, and he created man. And he told man of every tree of the in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And so Adam and Eve, they had everything their hearts could desire. They had every good thing. They had every need supplied, and every evening God would come down and to fellowship, and they enjoyed a relationship with God in the Garden of Eden. And the question might come to your mind, well, why does God get to set this standard of what is holy? Why does God get to set the standard of what is morally right, of moral excellence? Why is God the one that gets to set this standard? Why did God get to say, you can't eat of that tree? And the answer is because he's God. But we want to understand that there is a standard of holiness, and it's given to us in the Word of God. And we don't get to ask God about, well, why is this right and why is that wrong? God is God, and he is the one that sets a standard, because everything about him is holy and good. And God told Adam, you eat that tree. Listen, you have everything you want except that one tree. Don't eat it. But what happened? Adam chose to not obey God. Adam chose to say, why is God, I mean, actually it's what Adam was questioning. Why does God get to tell me not to eat that tree? And so he decided to eat of that tree. Adam chose to eat the fruit. And the Bible tells us that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. He can't even look upon evil. Everything about God is good. And Adam sinned against God, and that rebellion brought death into the world. You know, this week, in my chaplain duties at the hospital, I came in contact with death a lot. More so than normal. More than I like to. It's not pleasant to deal with families and when they're having to deal with death, right? None of us like to deal with death. But why did I have to bump into that this week? It's because death came into the world. When Adam sinned, death came into the world. And all of us, right, we know death is in the world. And death is in the world because Adam chose to sin. The Bible tells us that death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so this rebellion against God and death came into the world. Again, God said, in the day that you eat, you're going to die. And that's exactly what Adam died. Death originally was not a part of the garden. Really was never a part of the garden. God removed Adam from the garden. And that's actually what death is. Death is actually separation from God. And so death is coming to the world. But today we're celebrating something. We are celebrating the fact that we have victory over death. You see, we celebrate the resurrection because there's something that we recognize. Just like Adam sinned against God, we are sinners. And just like Adam suffered the sentence of death, we deserve the sentence of death. We deserve to be separated from God. You see, we understand that we are sinners and we deserve to die. But Jesus died on the cross and He was raised again the third day. And we're going to find out He was raised again the third day for our justification. So we have been honest with ourselves and say we are guilty before God and we deserve to die. But we have been given eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the reason that we celebrate. We celebrate today because we recognize that we have been given life by Jesus Christ. We understand that the Passion Week is about how that we have broken the law of God. Not Adam. I did. I broke the law of God. God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I don't do that. I haven't done that my whole life. I'm guilty. We could think about all kinds of places where the Bible describes this is what sin is, and I can look at the law of God and say, I'm guilty. I deserve to die. I can remember the time when I looked at my life and I said, God, if you gave me what I deserved, I'd die now and be sentenced to death and hell forever. And that was when I was able to see my sin and I was able to see a Savior and I was born again. But the reason that we celebrate today is because we recognize today that we are guilty before God and that God has given us eternal life through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ went to the cross, He went to the cross for us. He died in my place. He died so I wouldn't have to. And I have reason to celebrate today. I have life in Christ. And that's why we celebrate. You see, we all understand. We're celebrating every Sunday morning because we understand that one sin is enough to make us guilty before God. One sin is enough to bring the condemnation of death upon us. One sin is enough. And so we trusted Jesus Christ because we were guilty and He gave us eternal life. And that's the reason we celebrate every Sunday. But it was because of sin. You see, the reason that our text said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the reason that we celebrate is because we know that we have sinned and we have come short of the glory of God. And we know that the Scripture says that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the wages of sin, God told Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to surely die. And Adam sinned, and so death passed passed upon and death passed upon all men. The wages of sin is death. And the death that man experiences is twofold. We're going to all die physically, right? We know that. There's been a couple of people that have gotten out of here alive. You know, Elijah was one of them. But most of us, everyone else, we're going to die. We're going to spend our 70 years and then we're going to die. So we know that death is physical. And there we know as we look out into the world that there's all kinds of things there. If you look out into the world, you look out there and say, yeah, you know what? Everything is good. It's not. There are some hurtful things in this world. That's because of sin. Everything that is bad, everything that is hurtful that's in this world is because of sin. And so we all are going to experience physical death, but also there is spiritual death. That's how actually Adam died. Adam was removed from fellowship with God. There was a separation between Adam and God. And all of us have experienced that. You're experiencing that, maybe. If you've never been born again, you're living in a state of being separated from God. You're not fellowshipping with God in the cool of the day like Adam did. You're not enjoying the presence of God like He's standing beside you because you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And so death is twofold. It's physical and it's spiritual. It's separation from God. And actually, that's what death in hell is going to be. It's going to be separation from God for eternity. And we know that death reigns in this world. And with all the death and destruction that's in this world, we understand the Bible says that surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. So the wickedness and evil that's in this world is under the hand of God. But if we look at all the wickedness that's in this world today, when God is restraining it, think what it would be like if God would not restrain sin at all. Think how much death and destruction would be in this world. But we know that death reigns in this world. So a judgment came upon sin. A holy God said, don't eat the tree. Adam ate the fruit, and death came into the world, and death is reigning in this world. And God is going to judge sin. We go on and read in our text in Romans 3:25, it says, and again, I'm answering the question of why we celebrate. I've really already answered it, but I'm digging into it a little bit deeper. Verse 25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Propitiation, that's a word you don't hear every day. But what that word means, it is the satisfaction of wrath. You see, God is angry with sin. God hates sin. The Bible tells us that God is angry with the worker of iniquity every day. God is not okay with sin. God is holy, and He's a purer eyes than behold evil. And when we have wickedness and evil in our lives, we deserve wrath, the wrath of God, and God is going to pour out His sin upon rebellion one day. Again, God told Adam, the day that you eat of that fruit, you're going to die. One thing that we must keep in mind is that God is offended at sin. I mean, you may think, well, my sin's not too bad. It's not that big a deal. It's just a little. It offends God. Your lack of living perfectly, according to His word, offends God. He's not okay with it. He's not just going to sweep it under the rug. Sin offends God. He's holy. And He's not okay with it. sin is worthy of death. And so death must occur. Why? Because God is holy, but God is also just. And so because God is holy and just, the penalty for sin must be enacted. If God says the wages of sin is death, then death has to happen. He can't say, well, that's okay, I'm just going to forget about it. No, he can't do that, or he would not be just. See, there are many things that God is. God is holy, God is just, God is love, and there's many things that God is. But we can't separate God's holiness and God's justice. And so because God is holy and he is just, and God say that the wages of sin is death, then death must happen. And God is going to be just, and so his wrath is going to be poured out upon sin. The only way for the wages of sin to be paid is for death to occur. And we get just a glimpse of the horror of sin by looking at the cross. It's not a full picture, but we just get just a glimpse of how angry God is at sin when we look at the cross. Think that God sent his innocent son. Jesus came to this earth, lived a perfect life, never sinned against God, was perfect and holy in every way. He never said the wrong thing. He never did the wrong thing. He was, the Bible says, there was no guile found in his mouth. And we can look through history, and there's enough history that tells us about Jesus to tell us that he was perfect in every way without the Bible. We can find it in secular history, the testimony of who Jesus is. But think how much God must hate sin if he sent his holy, perfect Son to earth and then poured out his wrath, his anger at sin. He poured out upon his Son. How much must he hate sin? So the justice of God is going to come upon sin because God is just. God sent Jesus to be the propitiation, to suffer the wrath of God. He satisfied the wrath of God on behalf of those who will put faith in his blood. We think about sin, and most of us, we don't want to think that we're too bad of a sinner. We don't want to think that, you know, my sin is not too bad. My sin is not worthy of such a penalty. You know, I don't sin any more than the other guy. And besides, look at him over there. Look what he did. Sinner, me, I'm just doing the best I can. My sin's not too bad, right? We need to understand, though, that we don't get to define what sin is. We don't get to define the terms of the resolution of sin. We don't get to define what satisfies the justice of God. God gets to define that because he's God, and God says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says that he's going to pour out his wrath upon all sin. And that's what's going to happen to sin. And again, when people are cast away from God in hell forever, they will never satisfy the justice of God. They'll never satisfy the wrath of God. But that's what's happening when people are cast into the lake of fire. They're being separated from God forever. And again, most of us like to think, well, Hell, that place is created for murderers and scoundrels. It's not created for good people like me. Matthew 25:40 says, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Listen. "For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not." So who are those that are going to depart from him into everlasting fire? Notice what he says here. He's not saying murderers and scoundrels. He's saying the one that didn't visit the person in prison. The one that didn't visit the sick. The one that didn't clothe the one that was naked. The one that didn't feed the one that was hungry. And those people are going to say, but when did we not feed you when you were hungry? When did we not clothe you when you were naked? When did we not visit you in prison when you were in prison? And he says, when you didn't do it unto the... Then shall they answer and saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto them? Then shall he answer saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto the one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What's my point? My point is, everybody says, well, my sin's not bad. It's not worthy of death. Jesus kind of described for us there some things that are worthy of death. I'm just trying to get you to see that all of us are guilty before God. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned, and death is passed upon all men. I'm trying to get you to see why we celebrate. Why do we come here every Sunday morning? Why do we come on Wednesday night? Why do we worship the Lord? It's because we understand that we've been born again. We understand that we've been rescued from the sentence of hell. We understand that when Christ went to the cross, he went to the cross because that's what our sins deserved. My sin deserved death in hell. My sin deserved the wrath of God, but God, in His goodness and His graciousness, has redeemed me from my sins, and He sent His Son to die on the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, He was dying because I was a sinner, and I deserved to die. He suffered the wrath of God on my behalf. That's the reason I worship Him. And that's the reason your family and friends worship Jesus. It's because they deserve the wrath of God. But they believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. You see what we read there, whom God has set forth to be propitiation through faith in His blood. It's not only that Christ died, but that you believe that He died for you. The sinless sacrifice was made so that the wrath of God would be appeased. When Jesus died on the cross, He suffered the full wrath of God. He was separated from God. He was forsaken by God. That's why He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He experienced the separation from God that our sins deserved. The reason we celebrate is because we know the wrath which our sins deserved was satisfied in Christ. Why do we celebrate? We celebrate, it says in verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and a justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Not this what happened on the cross, it was a twofold action. Our sins were placed upon Jesus, and then His righteousness was given to us. And so His righteousness stood in the place of mine. sin. And He gave me His righteousness. And so the reason that God can forgive me of my sin is because Jesus died for my sins. He took my sins upon Himself and He died in my place. And then He gives me His righteousness. So we put our faith in the blood of Jesus and we receive His righteousness for the remission of the sins that are past. So the righteousness of Christ is put into the count of those who have faith in Christ. We celebrate because we know that we have been given the righteousness of Christ to walk in. Sin and the flesh no longer has dominion over us. We celebrate because we have the ability to walk in the righteousness of Christ. We have the ability to walk in victory over sin. And so we celebrate because we come here today recognizing that I can walk in a way that's pleasing to God because I have the righteousness of Christ. And I have been redeemed. Go back up to verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified means that we have been declared just. All who are guilty before God. And let's be honest. If you were standing before God today, would you really be able to say, God, I've never sinned. I've never said anything wrong. I've always loved You first and foremost in my life. Let's be honest. None of us, if we were standing before God, we wouldn't be able to say that, right? We're all guilty. But because we believe in Jesus Christ, now we recognize that God declares us just. He sees us as if we have never sinned. And it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So if you're honest with yourself and you would say that you know that you're guilty, you know you transgressed the law of God. Have you ever felt any condemnation about your life? Have you ever felt any condemnation about that you know that you're guilty? Before I was saved, I felt all kinds of condemnation because I knew that I was guilty before God. And the more I thought about it, the more I felt that condemnation. But now notice what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You want to know why we celebrate? Because I used to be full of condemnation. I used to be full of guilt before God. I used to be afraid to read His Word. I used to be afraid to come to church. I used to be afraid of because I felt all of this condemnation. But now that condemnation is gone. That condemnation has been wiped out in Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation. And so I can celebrate today because I understand. As the song says, He set me free. Oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. There's no condemnation, so we can celebrate because we've been redeemed. We've been rescued. We've been set free from sin. The price has been paid. That redemption is in Christ. That redemption is through faith in His name. That redemption is in the free grace of God. I didn't do anything to deserve it. God gave it to me because He chose to give it to me. And so again, we celebrate because we understand that salvation is by grace. Because God chose to give it to us. One last little text. Romans 4:25 says, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Let's recount what we've seen thus far. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God sent His Son to satisfy His wrath for those who will put their faith in Him. The wrath is satisfied, and because the wrath is satisfied, that redeems us from the curse of the law, and the righteousness of Christ is placed into the account of those who are in Christ, and because of that, we are redeemed. But notice, raised again for our justification. How do we know? How do we know that God was satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ? How do we know that the debt has been paid? How do we know? The resurrection is the answer. If the wages of sin is death, how do we know that God is satisfied with the death of Christ to cover our sins? You look at the empty tomb. Tomb is empty. Death had no power over Jesus. He suffered the wrath of God. He experienced the full weight of sin. He died. He was separated from God, but death could not hold Him. The grave had no power over Him. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? There is no sting in death. There is no victory in the grave because Jesus was raised again. And so what do we know? That one day we'll be raised again with Him. That one day, just like Jesus was raised from the grave and He ascended to be with His Father, and He is now in the presence of His Father forever. Here's what we know. We have put our faith in Jesus Christ. We have trusted that He died in our place. We have trusted that He paid the sin debt. He died for us. And then we look at the empty tomb and we see that He's risen and He lives for us. And one day, even though we may die, Job said, even though the skin worms may eat my flesh, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Job had that faith. And today, everyone who has trusted in Jesus Christ, they have the faith that one day they're going to see God. They're going to see God face to face. Death has no claim on them. Hell has no claim on them. The only thing that awaits them is hope, eternal life, the blessings of heaven forever. See, the reason we celebrate today is because we know what awaits us. What awaits us is heaven. What awaits us is the presence of God. What awaits us is joy forevermore, because we have believed God's word and we have trusted in Him and we have reason to celebrate. It's eternal life that awaits us. And again, we're here on Sunday morning. And guess what? Next Sunday, we're going to be right here again. And you know what we're going to be doing? We're going to be celebrating the resurrection. Because we recognize we have a reason to celebrate, because Christ is risen again so that we might live, and we want to celebrate that. We have reason to celebrate. Now, we read in our text today how that in the Bible reading today, we all read together how that Satan comes and snatches the word, right? You know, Satan is a great deceiver. He wants to attack and deny the truth. He deceives people by convincing them that they're not worthy of hell. Hell's for somebody else, not you. You're too good a person to go to hell. That's one of Satan's deceptions. Satan deceives people into questioning whether there's a resurrection or not. Satan deceives people into questioning whether there's a God or not. There's all kinds of ways that Satan deceives. He even deceives people into believing there's no reason to celebrate the resurrection every Sunday. However, we know there's a reason to celebrate. And we know there's a cause for celebration. We experience the hope of the resurrection every day as we walk in forgiveness of sins. Don't be deceived by Satan. Understand the truth of God's word. You know, here we are today. It's Resurrection Sunday. And we are so thankful that you have chosen to celebrate this resurrection with us today. And I pray today that I have been plain enough that you'll understand why we have a reason to celebrate. But also pray that you'll see your need to celebrate. I pray that you would see your guilt before God. I pray that you would repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ to be redeemed from your sins so that you might celebrate with us today. We have reason to celebrate. Christ, our Lord, is risen today. Hallelujah. Listen, we're glad you're here. We pray that you will celebrate along with us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for Resurrection Sunday, where we can worship you together. And we thank you, Lord, that we have hope, the hope of eternal life, the hope of the resurrection. I pray that you will help us all to celebrate. And I pray that you will deal with someone's heart and help them to see that they need to celebrate today too. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing just one hymn.